The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
Hi there, and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 171. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and today we're going to be reading 1 Chronicles chapters 19 through 22. Let's begin. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Later King Nahash of the Ammonites died, and his son succeeded him. David said, "I will express my loyalty to Hanun, son of Nahash, for his father was loyal to me." So David sent messengers to express his sympathy over his father's death. When David's servants entered Ammonite territory to visit Hanun and express the king's sympathy, the Ammonite officials said to Hanun, "Do you really think David is trying to honor your father by sending these messengers to express his sympathy? No, his servants have come to you so they can get information and spy out the land." So Hanun seized David's servants and shaved their beards off. He cut off the lower part of their robes so that their buttocks were exposed and then sent them away. Messengers came and told David what had happened to the men, so he summoned them, for the men were thoroughly humiliated. The king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards grow again, then you may come back." When the Ammonites realized that David was disgusted with them, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire chariots and charioteers from Aram-Naharaim, Aram-Maacah, and Zobah. They hired 32,000 chariots, along with the king of Maacah and his army, who came and camped in front of Medeba. The Ammonites also assembled from their cities and marched out to do battle. When David heard the news, he sent Joab and the entire army to meet them. The Ammonites marched out and were deployed for battle at the entrance to the city, while the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle would be fought on two fronts, he chose some of Israel's best men and deployed them against the Arameans. He put his brother Abishai in charge of the rest of the army, and they were deployed against the Ammonites. Joab said, "If the Arameans start to overpower me, you come to my rescue. If the Ammonites start to overpower you, I will come to your rescue. Be strong. Let's fight bravely for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what he decides is best." So Joab and his men marched toward the Arameans to do battle, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw the Arameans flee, they fled before Joab's brother Abishai and withdrew into the city. Moab went back to Jerusalem. When the Arameans realized they had been defeated by Israel, they sent for reinforcements from beyond the Euphrates River, led by Shophash, the commanding general of Hadadezer's army. When David was informed, he gathered all Israel, crossed the Jordan River, and marched against them. David deployed his army against the Arameans for battle, and they fought against him. The Arameans fled before Israel. David killed 7,000 Aramean charioteers and 40,000 infantrymen. He also killed Shophash, the commanding general. When Hadadezer's subjects saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his subjects. The Arameans were no longer willing to help the Ammonites. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. In the spring, at the time when kings normally conduct wars, Joab led the army into battle and devastated the land of the Ammonites. He went and besieged Rabbath while David stayed in Jerusalem. Joab defeated Rabbath and tore it down. David took the crown from the head of their king and wore it. Its weight was a talent of gold, and it was set with precious stones. He took a large amount of plunder from the city. He removed the city's residents and made them do hard labor with saws, iron picks, and axes. This was his policy with all the Ammonite cities. Then David and all the army returned to Jerusalem. Later there was a battle with the Philistines in Gezer. At that time, Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sipai, one of the descendants of the Rephaim, and the Philistines were subdued. There was another battle with the Philistines in which Elhanan, son of Jair the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite, whose spear had a shaft as big as the crossbeam of a weaver's loom. In a battle in Gath, there was a large man who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He too was a descendant of Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These were the descendants of Rapha who lived in Gath. They were killed by the hand of David and his soldiers. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. An adversary opposed Israel, inciting David to count how many warriors Israel had. David told Joab and the leaders of the army, "Go, count the number of warriors from Beersheba to Dan. Then bring back a report to me so I may know how many we have." Joab replied, "May the Lord make his army 100 times larger. My master, O king, do not all of them serve my master? Why does my master want to do this? Why bring judgment on Israel?" But the king's edict stood, despite Joab's objections. So Joab left and traveled throughout Israel before returning to Jerusalem. Joab reported to David the number of warriors. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 sword-wielding soldiers. Judah alone had 470,000 sword-wielding soldiers. Now Joab did not number Levi and Benjamin, for the king's edict disgusted him. God was also offended by it, so he attacked Israel. David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now please remove the guilt of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly." The Lord told Gad, David's prophet, "Go, tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am offering you three forms of judgment from which to choose. Pick one of them." Gad went to David and told him, "This is what the Lord says. Pick one of these: 3 years of famine, or 3 months being chased by your enemies and struck down by their swords, or 3 days being struck down by the Lord, during which a plague will invade the land and the Lord's messenger will destroy throughout Israel's territory. Now decide what I should tell the one who sent me." David said to Gad, "I'm very upset. I prefer to be attacked by the Lord, for his mercy is very great. I do not want to be attacked by men." So the Lord sent a plague through Israel, and 70,000 Israelite men died. God sent an angel to ravage Jerusalem. As he was doing so, the Lord watched and relented from his judgment. He told the angel who was destroying, "That's enough, stop now." Now the Lord's angel was standing near the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the Lord's messenger standing between the earth and sky with his sword drawn and in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. David and the leaders, covered with sackcloth, threw themselves down with their faces to the ground. David said to God, "Was I not the one who decided to number the army? I am the one who sinned and committed this awful deed. As for these sheep, what have they done? O Lord my God, attack me and my family, but remove the plague from your people." So the Lord's messenger told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar for the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. So David went up as Gad instructed him to do in the name of the Lord. While Ornan was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the messenger, and he and his four sons hid themselves. When David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David. He came out from the threshing floor and bowed to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, "Sell me the threshing floor so I can build on it an altar for the Lord. I'll pay top price so that the plague may be removed from the people." Ornan told David, "You can have it. My master the king may do what he wants. Look, I'm giving you the oxen for burnt sacrifices, the threshing sledges for wood, and the wheat for an offering. I give it all to you." King David replied to Ornan, "No, I insist on buying it for top price. I will not offer to the Lord what belongs to you or offer a burnt offering that costs me nothing." So David bought the place from Ornan for 600 pieces of gold. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. He called out to the Lord, and the Lord responded by sending fire from the sky and consuming the burnt sacrifice on the altar. The Lord ordered the messenger to put his sword back into its sheath. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. At that time, when David saw that the Lord responded to him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. Now the Lord's tabernacle, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar for burnt sacrifices were at that time at the worship center in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to seek God's will, for he was afraid of the sword of the Lord's messenger. David then said, "This is the place where the temple of the Lord God will be, along with the altar for burnt sacrifices for Israel." David ordered the resident foreigners in the land of Israel to be called together. He appointed some of them to be stonecutters to chisel stones for the building of God's temple. David supplied a large amount of iron for the nails of the doors of the gates and for braces, more bronze than could be weighed, and more cedar logs than could be counted. The Sidonians and Tyrians had brought a large amount of cedar logs to David. David said, "My son Solomon is just an inexperienced young man, and the temple to be built for the Lord must be especially magnificent, so it will become famous and be considered splendid by all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for its construction." So David made extensive preparations before he died. He summoned his son Solomon and charged him to build a temple for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I really wanted to build a temple to honor the Lord my God. But the Lord said to me, 'You have spilled a great deal of blood and fought many battles. You must not build a temple to honor me, for you have spilled a great deal of blood on the ground before me. Look, you will have a son who will be a peaceful man. I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. Indeed, Solomon will be his name. I will give Israel peace and quiet during his reign. He will build a temple to honor me. He will become my son, and I will become his father. I will grant to his dynasty permanent rule over Israel. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you. May you succeed and build a temple for the Lord your God just as he announced you would. Only may the Lord give you insight and understanding when he places you in charge of Israel, so you may obey the law of the Lord your God. Then you will succeed if you carefully obey the rules and regulations which the Lord ordered Moses to give to Israel. Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid and don't panic. Look now, I have made every effort to supply what is needed to build the Lord's temple. I have stored up 100,000 talents of gold, 1 million talents of silver, and so much bronze and iron it cannot be weighed, as well as wood and stones. Feel free to add more. You also have available many workers, including stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and an innumerable array of workers who are skilled in using gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Get up and begin the work. May the Lord be with you. David ordered all the officials of Israel to support his son Solomon. He told them, "The Lord your God is with you. He has made you secure on every side, for he handed over to me the inhabitants of the region, and the region is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now seek the Lord your God wholeheartedly and with your entire being. Get up and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Then you can bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant and the holy items dedicated to God's service into the temple that is built to honor the Lord." When you think about it, David must have been somewhat disappointed that he wasn't the one that was able to build the temple. But at the same time, I imagine he must have been proud of Solomon. I know as a father I would be. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so glad you're with me to go through God's Word together. Please feel free to write me at steve.lifespring@gmail.com or send in a voice comment at 206-350-CALL. And now, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.
Get free and stay free from inappropriate online content with Covenant Eyes Accountability Software. And try it risk-free and cost-free for 30 days using promo code LIFESPRING at CovenantEyes.com or look for the Covenant Eyes link on our show notes page at LifespringMedia.com.
If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting LifeSpring Media. Details are at LifespringMedia.com.